Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are happy to have you on board on the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Shakespeare really turned this into to a scary day. If you're superstitious, then Shakespeare turned this into a day full of dark omens. You know, when the soothsayer said to Julius Caesar in Shakespeare's play, "Beware the Ides of March," Shakespeare should have he should have paid attention because, well, he was attacked by senators on the 15th of March, and there he perished. But the Ides of March are really, you know, the Roman calendar was based on lunar cycles, and this is the time of the full moon. The full moon usually fell between the 13th and the 15th. So the Ides of March, that they signify that this was the time of the full moon in March. And the soothsayer said to Julius, "Beware, beware, there are things afoot." And this tradition is kind of carried over where people are now a little leery about the 15th. Washington, however, my friends, was not afraid of the 15th. He was not leery of the 15th. There is a matter of fact, there is a story that that unfolded on March 15th, 1783. And it's I don't know that it's talked about a lot. It is not a, you know, I don't know that it's a common point of history, but it's a significant point of history because it's in this moment that Washington revealed his leadership. You know, I shouldn't say it that way because Washington revealed his leadership through the entire duration of the war. He revealed his leadership even during the French and Indian War. I should say it this way, that on March 15th, 1783, there was another occasion offered where Washington was able to reveal his leadership. And it's a fantastic story. It's a beautiful piece of history, and it really speaks to what true leadership looks like, what true leadership sounds like, what true leadership acts like. Is the way that Washington presents himself. So, you know, early 1783, I mean, we're in March, the infant United States faced almost one final crisis. The Revolutionary War is practically over, but the army had not been paid, and this is the problem. Soldiers who had fought for years were in desperate need of money. Congress had no funds, and rumors began to spread that they would send the men home without pay. So, an anonymous letter begins to circulate throughout the Revolutionary Army, calling for the military to revolt against Congress. Did you know this? Did you know that these men had, that they, you know, there was this talk going around that they needed to rise up. They needed to take their swords, take their weaponry, and they needed to march on Philadelphia. They were tired because they weren't getting paid. It just boiled down to money. Congress said, "We'll pay you," but then, you know, Congress didn't have any money. So in Newburgh, New York, they decided that they would have this assembly. They met at this tavern, and Washington surprises them. He shows up. He gets wind that this is going on. And he surprises the assembly of officers, and he personally addressed the group. He's going to address the conspiracy, and I've got his letter here, and it is, I'm telling you, it's powerful. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I wouldn't mind just reading really a couple paragraphs, because it just, it just packs a punch. He starts out by saying, "Gentlemen, by an anonymous summons, an attempt has been made to convene you together. How inconsistent with the rules of propriety, how unmilitary, and how subversive of all order and discipline. Let the good sense of the army decide. In the moment of this summons, Another anonymous production was sent into circulation, addressed more to the feelings and passions than to the reason and judgment of the army. And this really, to me, this describes the left. This describes who they are, that they would rather address the feelings and passions of an argument versus the reason and the judgment of something. This is where we get the people riled up, we get their emotions stirred, and then we just pounce. I mean, Washington is not addressing the left or the right here. He's just saying, whoever wrote this letter anonymously, this is their intent. This is what they're doing. They're just trying to stir up passions, and they're not really going for reason or judgment. He says, the author of the piece is entitled to much credit for the goodness of his pen. You know, Washington gives him credit. You're well written, and if you want to stir up the crowd, you're doing a good job. But Washington continues, and he says, and I could wish he had as much credit for the rectitude of his heart, for as men see through different optics and are induced by the reflecting faculties of the mind to use different means to attain the same end, the author of the address should have had more charity than to mark for suspicion the man who should recommend moderation and longer forbearance. Or in other words, who should not think as he thinks and act as he advises. You know, so Washington's saying, look, there are those among you that are pressing you to, let's just wait, let's be patient, let's have some forbearance. But instead, the anonymous author of this letter wants to stir up the crowd. Well, we've waited long enough. We demand our money. And, you know, Washington says, you know, you should not think as he thinks and act as he advises. He continues, but he had another plan in view. So he's talking about the author of the letter. He had another plan in view in which candor and liberality of sentiment, regard to justice and love of country, have no part. And he was right to insinuate the darkest suspicion to affect the blackest design. That the address is drawn with great art and is designed to answer the most insidious purposes, that it is calculated to impress the mind with an idea of premeditated injustice in the sovereignty or in the sovereign power of the United States, and rose all those resentments which must unavoidably flow from such a belief, that the secret mover of this scheme, whoever he may be, intended to take advantage of the passion while they were warmed by the recollection of past distresses. Without giving time for cool, deliberative thinking and that composure of mind, which is so necessary to give dignity and stability to measure, is rendered too obvious by the mode of conducting the business to need other proof than a reference to the proceeding. All right, there was a lot there. I probably read more of that paragraph than I should have, but it is, it's Washington calling this anonymous individual out. He doesn't call him a coward, but he's saying, you know, look, you, all right, you have crafted your letter well, you're artistic, you know what you're doing, but you shouldn't have done it. You should have relied upon reason and good judgment. You should have called for forbearance. And this is how he ends it. It's several paragraphs long. But I just want to read his closing to you. He says, while I give you these assurances and pledge myself in the most unequivocal manner to exert whatever ability I am possessed of in your favor, let me entreat you, gentlemen, on your part, not to take any measures which, viewed in the calm light of reason, will lessen the dignity and sully the glory you have hitherto maintained. He's saying, look, fellas, you have fought this war. And you beat the superpower on the planet. You defeated them. You defeated England. Don't let it end this way. Don't lessen the dignity and sully the glory you have hitherto maintained. He says, let me request you to rely on the plighted faith of your country and place a full confidence in the purity of the intentions of Congress, that previous to your dissolution as any army, they will cause all your accounts to be fairly liquidated as directed in their resolutions, which were published to you 2 days ago. So, I mean, you know, the leadership here, the calm and the poise that Washington is presenting to his officers. He's got a room full of officers, and they're all there for one purpose. They're all there for mutiny. And Washington steps in, and he just calmly says, don't let your dignity and your glory be sullied. He says, by thus determining and thus acting, you will pursue the plan and direct road to the attainment of your wishes. You will defeat the insidious designs of our enemies, who are compelled to resort from open force to secret artifice. So Washington's saying, I think our enemies are stirring this up amongst us. But if you guys just steady down, steady boys, calm down. And if you just stay the course, then you will defeat the insidious designs of our enemies, who are compelled to resort from open force to secret artifice. He then says, you will give one more distinguished proof of unexampled patriotism and patient virtue, rising superior to the pressure of the most complicated sufferings. And you will, by the dignity of your conduct, afford occasion for posterity to say, when speaking of the glorious example you have exhibited to mankind, had this day been wanting, the world had never seen the last stage of perfection to which human nature is capable of attaining. That closing, my friends, he says, if you guys make this decision, right, if you make this decision right now to go forward with your plan, to march on Philadelphia and to perform mutiny, then this day will have been wanting, and the world would never have the opportunity to see the last stage of perfection to which human nature is capable of attaining. In Washington's view, but by the officers forbearing and saying, okay, we're going to wait, we're going to be patient, we're going to pause, we set an example to the world. And it was a stage of perfection to which human nature was capable of attaining. That was Washington's point of view. That was the end of his speech. When he was done, you know, he paused, and the men are just staring at him, uneasy. This is the report. I think Talmadge was the one who was writing this. I could be wrong. Don't quote me, but I think it was Benjamin Talmadge, who was Washington's chief spy. You know, he was the one that led the spy ring, the culprit ring. So when Washington's done, the room is silent. You could hear a pin drop. Washington then reaches his hand in his inside pocket, and he pulls out a letter from a congressman who's explaining the difficulties that Congress has faced and the fact that they have no money and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Washington starts to read the letter. He stumbles over a few words, and then he stops. He then pulls from his other pocket something the men had never seen him use before. That was his spectacles, his glasses. Washington had glasses. The men had never seen him wear these glasses before. He pulls them out of his pocket. And then he says, gentlemen, you must pardon me. I have grown gray in the service of my country and now find myself growing blind. The hardened soldiers at that point began to fight back tears as they suddenly recalled Washington's own sacrifices. The sacrifices, that the personal sacrifices that he made for many of them. Later, when the general left the room, they voted to give Congress more time. You know, Washington, you know, he reads that letter, he puts his glasses away, and then he excuses himself. And they all vote, that's it, we're giving him more time. And it was when they watched him put his glasses on and they realized he is aged. He has grown old for this cause, and he can't even read anymore. And he's willing to continue forbearing and giving Congress an opportunity, then we're going to fall in suit. That, my friends, is an example of true leadership. And it happened on the 15th. Well, Washington's like, I'm not afraid of the Ides of March. Give me my spectacles. That's a true man. Oh, that's a true American. That's a true leader. Thomas Jefferson later observed, this was his quote, the moderation and virtue of a single character, referring to George Washington, probably prevented this revolution from being closed, as most others have been, by a subversion of that liberty it was intended to establish. Speaking of this moment, Jefferson said, lots of other countries have ended this way. And Washington put it down. He said, no, men, we're not doing this. We're better than this. Be a man. Be a leader. Rise up. Stand for what is right. This decision you're about to make isn't right. And they listened to him. And they sheathed their swords. They put away their muskets. You know, they put down their pistols and their daggers, and they followed the general. They followed his advice. On the Ides of March, Washington he once again displayed his leadership. And this, you know, this type of leadership is wanting today. It really is. It's wanting. We are desperate for it. But the good news is there are citizens who are willing to stand up. There are citizens who are willing to stand up and do the right thing. They're willing to step out and display leadership. And we're gonna talk to one of those citizens today. Her name is Marianne Engstrom, and she is part of the Don't Mess With Our Kids movement. And we're gonna speak to her in the next segment coming up after this break. And it's a conversation that I think you're gonna love. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we talk about grassroots movements here. We talk about getting involved at the grassroots level. And this is an opportunity. Our kids are the most important thing to us. And to have American citizens rise up, like George Washington did on the 15th of March, to have people rise up and say, no, we're going to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing. And we need to do the right thing by our children. You know, my friends, this is the most important attitude we can have. And I love that we have an example in George Washington to follow. I love history. This is what makes history so fantastic. History class is my favorite class. All right, we are up against the break. We will pick up our conversation with Marianne Engstrom on the other side. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to The Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. We are happy to have you on board. I am joined today by a guest that you're going to love. I know this audience is, you know, we talk about grassroots and we talk about being a part of a grassroots movement that will affect change. And today we have a guest on who is headlong in a grassroots movement that we refer to as Don't Mess With Our Kids. Her name is Marianne Engstrom. Marianne, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Dean. I'm excited.
I am too. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I had back on the program in October a lady by the name of Erin Lee, who I think you're familiar with. And she told her story, and I just let her go. She talked about, you know, the situation, the heartbreaking situation with her daughter, her middle school age daughter, who is in this brand new school, doesn't know anybody, gets invited to, you know, what she thinks is an art club after school, and it ends up being a GSA, and then it just goes downhill from there. And to the point where the daughter questions if she is male or female, and to the point where, you know, she's wondering if she should commit suicide, and this horrible trajectory that her daughter went down. And to hear her describe it, it's heartbreaking.
And it really is.
And it seems to me that this movement you're involved in, and you are one of the leaders here in Michigan, Don't Mess With Our Kids, it seems like it's a movement that is ripe for the moment that can affect fantastic change in this country. And I would like for you to tell us about it, describe it, let us know what's it about. And, you know, I think it's important that this audience understands what the movement is about and maybe how they can get involved in it. Let's start with what is first.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me on today, Dean. I really appreciate it. So Don't Mess With Our Kids is a grassroots movement, and it is a prayer movement where we know that the power of prayer changes things. We know that fasting changed the trajectory of something, and then standing and using our voice. So really the whole mission is to turn a nation, America, back to God. And also Michigan, because, you know, we're spearheading in Michigan. But it really is just using our voice and standing, because so many times we hear things, and a lot of times the church has stayed in their holy huddle, per se. So for Don't Mess With Our Kids, we're standing. For me personally, why it resonates with me is I have three beautiful daughters, two son-in-laws, and two amazing grandchildren. So for me, I want to stand for the freedoms that I believe that America was founded on biblical principles, and I want them to be able to worship God freely and, you know, the way that, you know, it was built on. So for me, in order to maintain, because we're moving in such an awful direction, like our nation is in serious crisis in a 911. 2024, this is the time to stand, because we can't wait any longer. We really, if we want to change, you know, the direction of the Gen Z right now, 30% of the Gen Zs right now self-identify as trans. So what that means is that in the school systems, and that they're identifying, they don't necessarily identify as a man or a woman. And that's just awful, because God created us all. They're all image bearers. They all matter and have such a purpose. And so with the schools and all these after school clubs, that's not their place to even do any of those things. They need to get back to teaching math and science and English and those things, and not worry about social issues. So that's my stance. And protecting parental rights. You know, there's many states right now that they're trying to take away parental rights, that if you're not going to transition your child, they're going to, you know, take away your rights and go do that and throw you in jail. It's not in Michigan yet, but it is in other progressive states. So that's why I'm standing.
Well, thank you for that. I'm glad that you're standing. I'm glad that you have the attitude, and you mentioned that you have grandkids and you have the attitude that it doesn't matter if you're a grandma, you can get involved. Right. There are things that you can do. And I think it's important for people to catch that.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter who you are. You can get involved in something that is grassroots. Now, you mentioned it's a prayer movement. Can you explain that or describe that? What if I'm not a Christian, but I'm concerned about what's happening with our kids in schools? Is this something that I can get involved in?
Absolutely. It really did ultimately start as like an Esther women's movement, but it's evolved into really it's everybody. It's the entire family. It's the moms, the dads, the children, and everything. So the way it's starting now is on April 13th of this year, which is like in 4 weeks, in every state capital and Washington, D.C., on that day, we are all going to be praying for our nation, for our families, for our children, for our nation, for repentance of all the things that we're doing. And it's historic. That has never happened, that on every state that we're actually going to be praying for all of those things. And with the ultimate goal of moving to have over 1 million people, families, children, moms, dads, on October 12th with this Yom Kippur. There's no coincidence of that. That's the Day of Atonement. And we all believe that from that, there's going to be a billion soul harvest, that the time is right. People need hope. And the hope is Jesus. And once you step into, I think a lot of people are in self-preservation mode where they've experienced this pain, they're staying in that. But once you know who you are and you step over, it's like, you know what, I'm going to stand for this. I'm going to stand. We can do it in love. We want to unify. We want to lock arms with everybody. This is not a battle against people. This is a spiritual battle. It isn't against flesh and blood. It really is a spiritual battle. And once we use our voice and we stand and we lock arms together and agree on certain things, we really can change the trajectory and turn this nation back to God, which is what it's founded on.
Love it. I absolutely love it. We have talked here for a long time about unifying and about getting behind a cause. And I believe that our kids are the cause. I believe that as a country, it doesn't matter if you're Christian, if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've seen what's happened in Montgomery County in Maryland, where you've got Christian families, Muslim families, and Jewish families rising up, and they're demanding that the school board allow them to opt out of this LGBTQ curriculum. And you've got these three religions, but they're coming together and they're unifying behind what? Behind the kids. I love
that. I did not know that. Thank you. I'm going to have to look for that. That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
That's amazing. What we need to do. We can all do that.
We can. And it's beautiful. And we should do it. I think, you know, when Jesus prayed in John chapter 7, let them be one as you and I are one. Being one and being unified is the tool. I don't mean to call it a tool, but it is the thing that will, I think, turn us around. When you have,
I agree.
You have a group of people that they're in lockstep, and I think getting behind our kids is that thing.
For sure. Well, the enemy comes to, you know, create the. He's the one. If we really focus on that spiritual component, the enemy really comes to create the division and the chaos and all those things in our lives. God doesn't do that. Like, he really is the unified and the love and those things. So we just have to recognize that. And just like, you know what, we don't receive that. He's the biggest deception, for sure. So I think once we recognize that, you know, no, we're going to go this way. And it matters, and we can come together. And we don't have to agree on everything, but I think we can agree on coming behind our children and doing what's best for them. Yep. Any parent really wants the best possible life for their child. They don't want them to struggle at all.
Absolutely. And I think that parents realize that if their child is a boy, then he's a boy and he's going to stay a boy. And it doesn't matter if, I don't care how many surgeries, you know, the chromosomes are what they are. It's still an XY. Right. There's no way around it. I think we definitely stay unified behind our kids. So I want to ask you about, you mentioned April 13th at the Capitol, and you said that this is happening at all 50 capitals plus Washington, D.C.
Yes.
So can you describe on the 13th, let's say I want to come, what should I expect? Do I need to do anything? Do I need to bring anything? Where should I go? Give me the
details. Just come. It is going to be, go ahead. So it's going to be on the Capitol steps. So please come, bring your families, you know, get busloads of people, a church bus, just come on, or just caravan. We are really wanting, we know colors change things. So we really want to be in the blue, in the pink. That's one thing Peru did. The colors were blue and pink, and that's kind of the mantra. So we know what Pride did, the Pride flag, and they show up to all of their parades. So we know that color changes culture. And then we have a whole bunch of Don't Mess With Our Kids flags, little flags and all of that. You can go to the don'tmesswitharkids.us website and purchase merchandise if you want to buy sweatshirts or a flag or anything. And it's going to be like a 1 to 3. We're going to start off with shofars, and we have someone actually doing like an Aaronic blessing in Hebrew. And then we're also going to worship for a little bit. And then we're just going to go in. And the first component is we're just going to be praying. It's going to be like, you know, 1 to 2 minute prayers, and people just praying over, you know, different things, individuals and families and repentance. We're going to take communion all together. There's going to, you know, we'll come alongside, we'll pray over our nation, our country. We'll talk about what the Don't Mess With Our Kids, and then kind of talk about how the Capitol is going to be and how we can really stay involved with doing like a prayer hub. We can talk about that later. But that's kind of the day. And it's going to be beautiful. We're praying for amazing weather, but it doesn't matter. Bring your chairs, bring your umbrellas, bring a blanket, whatever it is. It's going to be amazing. We're planning for 1,000 people. So this is a God's momentum. This is God's movement. And we believe that it's going to be God's showing up. And
sure. You're planning for 1,000, and that's probably going to be a small number. I think once the word gets out, and it's getting out, the word is leaking that this is what's happening on April 13th in capitals all over the country. And I think 1,000 is a small number. You mentioned Peru. You mentioned Peru, and I'm wondering, can you tell us about Peru? What's the backstory here?
So the backstory with Christian Rojas, so there, Peru was not necessarily a full Christian country. It was very, it was a communist country and all of that. But I feel like in Europe and everything, everything happens all over there first. So in Peru, the trans movement, the LGBTQ movement was in full major swing. And it got to the point where in schools and no matter, even in public, mostly schools, though, if you called somebody the wrong pronoun, meaning I'm a boy this day, and you called them a girl, it got so bad that you could be arrested and actually thrown in jail. I don't know the time frame, how long you could be thrown in jail, but it got to the point where it was a crime. And so everyone was in an uproar. So Christian and his sister really had just had enough. They were up against the wall. It's like, we need to do something for our children and our grandchildren and all of our cousins. And they just really kind of came up with a plan. They prayed, and they just kind of like this grassroots movement in the United States of America. We're going to get to, you know, our capital downtown. They got the word out, and people closed their businesses, and it went viral. Literally, like every business, everybody showed up in unison and in their colors with "Don't Mess With Our Kids, You're Not Going to Do That." And they prayed in the streets of Peru, and they were able to oust the prime minister, oust all the entire government. And again, like I said, George Soros, who really was a huge contributor, you know, for corrupt things, he pulled his money out because they weren't doing any of those illegal things or things that, you know, his money bought. And it was turned around. So just in that, it showed that we, the people, can, when we stand united and locking arms, we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. We really, really can. And honestly, the government works for us. And I think if you really start reading the Constitution and understand the Constitution, it's amazing. I don't know if you've heard about the story in Greenfield Township, Dean, But in Michigan, all the Chinese had bought all this property. Well, they had a meeting in all the Greenfield Township. They all met, and they literally, the entire that government, that local government was gone. They fired them. They stood. They knew their rights. They understood their constitution. That's what we need to take our country back.
Yes.
And that's kind of what it is. And that in itself is amazing. I was so happy to read that.
Yeah, I do recall reading that, and I loved it. You know, I've talked here a little bit about, I think it was in New Mexico, Albuquerque, maybe late summer, early fall, where that governor in New Mexico decided that you could not constitutionally carry. I don't know if you recall this, but people showed up in mass in Albuquerque, and they're loaded, they're armed to the gills, and they're just standing around, daring somebody from law, someone from government, to come and say, "I'm sorry, you can't carry that weapon," and that governor backed down. She backed down because what you're saying is the truth. The people have authority, and when we show up in mass, when we lock arms, when we unify together, the government listens to us.
They do.
Because they realize we're not the sheep that they think we are.
Well, especially in Michigan. So federally, I feel like we do more federally, but locally in Michigan, we're going to really be watching all the bills. So like within the prayer hubs and the people, we're going to disseminate. It's like, hey, this bill's coming out about taking parental rights. Get it all out. Please email this person and say you're against it. Because normally if they get like 3 to 5 people with pushback, they think that's pushback locally. And so just think about if we all come back, it's like using our voice, getting involved in government, because I mean, just know, having the knowledge and sending an email, that's what everybody can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, initially, and then showing up at the Capitol or having the conversation, showing up at local school board meetings, getting involved, running for school board office. It does start locally and it doesn't take a lot of time, but it matters ultimately.
It does. It matters. It matters a lot. Marianne, let's pause here. I'm up against the break. Let's pause for a moment and we'll pick this conversation up on the other side. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will. The will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all. At a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. We're listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are having a conversation with Marianne Engstrom. She is involved in the Don't Mess With Our Kids movement. It's grassroots, and we've talked a lot about getting involved in grassroots. This is the way that we change things. And Don't Mess With Our Kids is a movement that, well, it is what its title says it is. It's in support of our kids. And I talk a lot here about our kids. I talk a lot about what's happening in public schools, the attempt to confuse our children. And Marianne, you mentioned in the last segment that 30% of Gen Z, they don't know if they're male or female. And I talk a lot about this confusion, and it's upsetting to me that we have leaders in our high schools, in our middle schools, in our elementary schools that are pushing this confusion. They're adamant about it.
Right.
And I've had people, respond to me, on air, listeners that say, you're too rough on these kids. You come at them too hard. And I don't mean to come at the kids who are confused. I mean to go after the adults who are spearheading the confusion.
100%.
You made an important statement when you said these kids are image bearers. They're made in the image of God. We all are. And mm-hmm. that's important. And they have purpose. And when you have an adult telling them, if you feel this way, you should probably be a boy. Or maybe you should think about being a girl. That's wrong.
Absolutely.
That adult needs to be tried.
It's like righteous anger. It's righteous anger, like, boils up, because we know that they're all created in the image of God. Every right. child, every one of us.
Every single one of us. So Don't Mess With Our Kids is not a movement that is pressing hard and bearing down hard on these kids who are confused. It's a movement that wants to offer these kids hope, that wants to
absolutely
shed some light. Now, we talked a little bit about this event at the Capitol, and you mentioned prayer hubs. Can you describe what a prayer hub is? And, this might be a term that's new to some of us. So explain a prayer hub.
So a prayer hub, I'll give you the backstory on it. So when Jenny Donnelly, the pioneer for the Her Voice movement and Don't Mess With Our Kids, in 2017, she was prophesied over that she was going to have a prayer movement that was going to have 1 million people at the mall. And this was, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, we're believing for over 1 million people on October 12th. So at Her Voice movement, after she heard Don't Mess With Our Kids, she knew that the way we were going to get there was through prayer. So prayer hub is 2 to 10 people. So if you live in a home with you and your husband, that's a prayer hub. Get your family together. The idea is 2 to 10 because Jenny, on her website, you can go to Don't Mess With Our Kids US, click on Start a Prayer Hub. She has 30 prayer points. It makes it so easy for people. Prayer can be so intimidating to people. And it really is just talking to God. But honestly, there is 30 prayer points. They pray over the education system. They pray for over America, our nation's leader, our families, over our church families, and Israel always. And the 30 points, and that if you're praying over like this, all of our teachers in our school system, and then somebody reads each prayer point individually, you can read it verbatim, and then you decree and declare together, and then you move on. And then there's also, you take communion. So she's made it so easy. There's actually prayer hub points for kids, and there's coloring pages for kids. So if you're a family of five, you've got your prayer hub. So have the kids.
Did we lose her? Is that it? I think, all right, well, she stepped out for a second. All right, we are gonna give her some time to get back in. I'm just gonna let her jump back in when she comes back. I'm behind this.
Five people, is that 100,000? Is that right, or is that 10,000? 10,000? 10,000, that's 10,000 people in Michigan praying.
Well, those are good numbers. We'll take it. We'll take 10,000.
Right, so that's, she just really wanted to simplify prayer. So if we know that people are praying and they see that, and we're praying for all the same things, which is, you know, our churches, our leaders, our country, our schools, our teachers really need it. I really pray a lot. My heart is heavy for teachers. I have a lot of teacher friends. And so I don't know if you've ever seen like the national NEA, there's such an agenda. And I know people in the union, I'm not speaking bad because we know it's a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against people. We love people. But there's an agenda. And we've got to stand against the agenda.
Well, there
which is coming
agenda.
After. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming after our kids. You're right. It's an agenda that's coming after our kids. I was speaking to Alex Newman a couple of weeks ago, and he uses this analogy of the school being a building on fire. And he encourages parents to go in and get their kids out of the public school because that building's burning. But, you know, once we get our kids out, we can't just say, okay, we're fine, and let the building burn down. We have to go back in and get others, you know. So
me too.
To me, and I talk a lot here about a classical Christian education. That's important to me. That's what we do here at Waterbrook. To me, it's the best approach. I feel that it is. But if there are kids in a public school, I think what you said a few minutes ago about praying for those teachers, that's important because those teachers are still in that building. And it's important that we offer them prayer cover because who knows what they're going to be able to say or do, or who knows what child they're going to be able to reach out and help. And I know that they're limited in what they can say and do. You know, the Bible and prayer no longer exists, so we get that. But if we
can make a difference. I mean, just go pray around. There's National Day of Prayers on. It's usually always around May 14th. We would always we go on the flag when my kids were in high school, middle school. We go to all the flags. I would do a Moms in Touch, you know, in the school. You can pray around the school. There's so many things we could do because they matter and every child matters. It's not just, I mean, this is about every child, not just our own. And that's when we start thinking past that, like exactly what you said, Dean. It's that it's every one of them. And maybe, honestly, we've got to find a way to make it easier for parents. Maybe they're not able to homeschool because they don't have finances, or they don't have the finances to go to a Christian school. They have to go to a public school. Well, we need to come alongside them and stand and make sure that the stand up to like maybe the books that are in the library. I mean, there's one librarian in a district that determines all the books that are allowed. And honestly, you'll be surprised when, you know, you have to honestly be reading your kids' books, because I know in other states they were coming home and it's very graphic. A third grader came home in Washington and it was very graphic about a gay relationship and how you do that. And so the parents were mortified in this way. They had to get up to the school board and he was reading the actual book and they made him stop. Think about that. The school members and the adults did not want to hear the language. There's something wrong with that. And honestly, that child should have had to get up and read that. I would say, where's the parents? Where's the adults in the room? I will advocate for that child. I will come alongside you and I will hand, because he should not have ever been put in that position.
No, not at all. And I don't think you're alone. And this is the rallying cry, this is the unifier, is I think every parent in the country agrees with you. Well,
right, I do, I agree.
The majority, I would say, a very large percentage of parents, they care about their kids and they want to, you know, they don't want their kids going through that. Now, I do talk here a lot about grassroots, and, you know, I want to ask you this. How can people get involved with this particular grassroots movement? How can they get behind with Don't Mess With Our Kids?
So go to don'tmesswithourkids.us and you can click on either, you know, going to the Capitol. You can click on if you want to come to the Capitol, register so you can get all the updates via text messages, all of that. You can also slide down and they'll be all, you could start a prayer hub. So if you feel called to like, you know what, I have five people in my family. I'm going to do that. I have young kids. I'm going to print out the prayer sheets. I'm going to print out they change the prayer points, made it so easy. And then you can share it with people. You can even, you know, maybe the high school students. I mean, my daughter, you know, started her and two other boys when her junior year started Fellowship for Christ. They started praying, you know, her junior year. And now this has grown to 75 kids. You know, 5 years forward is going on and she's already graduated college. So just three students who were set apart stood and now it's still continuing on. So just, you know, we need to come along beside our kids. It's like, you can do that. God put that in you. You know, just don't be afraid. We're always going to have the naysayers. And so I think once we know who we are in Christ, it doesn't really matter what other people say. I think, you know, with girls, you know, you always want to defend them. Like, not everyone's going to like you because, you know, the enemy has the, you know, the confusion of like the jealousy and all that. No, we need to, gosh, become a part of the sisterhood and the brotherhood and encourage each other. Like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy for you, Dean. You started this radio program almost a year ago. I'm so proud of you. That's amazing. Oh my goodness, you want to do a podcast? Let's do that. Hey, why don't you start it on Instagram? You can do that. Just do a reel. So it's like, let's encourage one another.
Yes.
Like, that's not hard. No. Let's be happy for one another where they are instead of like, oh gosh, I can't believe they're doing that. No, that needs to stop. It needs to stop.
Oh, I love that. Preach it, sister.
I know it.
It's about us. It's about us getting behind one another and supporting each other and linking arms. And you know what? I've been talking about this story quite a bit. I'm reading Up From Slavery again. I read it when I was little. It was part of my, you know, my school. But I'm reading it again. So Booker T. Washington is telling this story. It's post-slavery, and they're building this school. They're building this institute, and he looks out and he sees white people and black people linked arm in arm. Says this in the book, a couple of years ago, the black people were owned by the white people and they're now linked arm in arm in support of this institute, in support of this school that he's building to educate black children. And you know what? If DEI, if we could overcome the evils of DEI that's separating us by race, by gender, and if we could unify, and if we could lock in, and we could just look at each other, offer forgiveness where we need to offer forgiveness, accept forgiveness Amen. Where we need to accept it, and let's move forward together. In this case, in support of our kids, I firmly believe we can move the country around.
I absolutely. I mean, just probably the key with that book, what I love about that. So what are the two things in that book that changed that they were able to lock arms? It was probably what? Honor and respect.
Yeah.
And they just unified, yeah. Right? They just, you know, they came together because they decided they were going to respect one another and their color of their skin doesn't matter. So does it matter. And I mean, if we can just do that and treat each other with love and just own our own, you know what, I'm really sorry. I didn't need to verbalize it that way. That came our own. Please forgive me. Mm-hmm. And really there's with an apology and I'm sorry changes the trajectory because people say, oh, okay. You know, I forgive you. And then you just move on. Mm-hmm. And it's not a battle like for being right. I mean, we're not going to agree on everything. I'm just like, okay, you know, that's okay. We don't have to agree on this, but we know we're doing this for our kids. So let's just move forward and stand for what's right for them. And just let's stand on what we agree on.
Yes.
And then God will do the rest anyway. Through our prayer hubs, because it's a journey. I know in my Christian walk, I mean, it's kind of like refining. He's refining us and he's pruning us back. And it's like, wow, I was really harsh there. Wow, I had a religious spirit. Lord, free me of that. I'm really sorry. That was very legalistic. Lot, you know, God, change my heart. You know, change my heart, Lord, to view everybody like Jesus views everybody. I want to love everybody like Jesus loves us, like the Creator. That is my ultimate goal, is to have the heart of Jesus. And see, that's why Jesus loved the children, because they're so pure in heart. Yeah. I mean, they just love. They don't know anything else. So, of course, the enemy wants our kids.
Yeah, right. And if he gets our kids, then he's got the future. He controls the future.
The next gen, and that's it. Yeah. So when you want to change a generation, the arrow's on our children's back. So we parents, grandparents, we have to stand. We have to stand in the gap for them. And now's the time. It's a 911. Our nation's in crisis, but we have the answer.
Yes, that was well said. Wow. You know, this has been a fantastic conversation. You're passionate, and it just comes across, and I love it. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for getting on here and just being open and just sharing your heart and your spirit. And thank you for being involved here. Thank you for leading this group in Michigan, this Don't Mess With Our Kids organization, and being a part of leading it in Michigan, because it is important. I want to encourage my listeners to, if you want to get involved in a grassroots organization, and I tell you to do it all the time, I can't tell you what to do, but I strongly encourage you, get involved in grassroots. This is the one right here. Go to don'tmesswithourkids.us. You can go to hervoicemvmt.com as well, I believe. Right, Marianne?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. All right.
Absolutely. So we'd love to.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We would love to see everybody on Saturday, April 13th from 1 to 3. We would love to see you, you know, there. We're just going to be praying for, you know, our kids and our country and all of that. And it's going to be amazing. It's God's momentum.
It is. It is. We want to see you at the Capitol. And if you're listening and you're in another state on April 13th, show up at your state's Capitol, because it's happening all over the country. I will be in Michigan, in Lansing on April 13th. I'm excited about it. I'm going to bring some people with me. And, this is important. This isn't just, you know, something to do. It's not, I don't have anything to do on April 13th. I'm going to go to the Capitol. No, this is important. And we're going after it. Marianne, thanks again for your time. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Again, it is don'tmesswithourkids.us. It's Her Voice Movement. We're after this. We're going to support our kids. All right. That's all the time we have for today. America, thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marianne. We'll do this again. We'll see you later.